Antares.
413 plus 10,000. That was a beautiful one.
Yeah, we're slightly off.
We might have a slope, but other than that, we're in great shape.
Yep.
Right on the landing station.
Okay, recycling the Parker valve.
Hey.
Closed. Open. Closed. Open. 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 Open.
Open. Helium rate one closed. Talk back, Barbara Full. The oxidizing fuel vents are gray. Mr. Arm is on. He said vent fire.
Dave? Mr. Arm?
Arm is off.
Dave? Fuel.
And they're coming down.
They're coming down.
Okay.
Relative press monitor.
Ascent
and descent.
Okay, ascent still good. Descent one. Ascent two are coming down on both.
Okay, ascent helium monitor cycle. Ascent helium monitor.
Antares, Houston, you're safe for T1.
Okay,
Roger,
safe for T1. Ascent helium two looks good. Ascent helium one looks good.
Okay. Okay, O2 quantity monitor. I'll take a look at those.
Take a look at those babies.
Okay, just like we did in orbit. FN2 is full. Back to descent. Alright. And the sequence camera is off. VHFA transmitter to voice. We're safe for T1, so I'll do the 414.
4 plus 20,000.
That's 20,000. And 400 plus 4.
400 plus 40,000.
414, that's it, that right? Houston, did I get a 414 plus 20,000 in?
Stand by. You got it in.
0.01. Okay. Barry, you're down 43, Houston.
Yeah, we are a little slow, aren't we?
Yep. About the flattest place around here, though.
Yeah, what's that, about 8 degrees of roll we're in, 8 degrees slope.
Okay, we got the down 43 out.
Let me copy those down. Those two. Back on our book.
Stop is reset.
40. Oh, I read up before I got
minus it. 367.
What?
Minus 367, minus 1751.
Minus 367. One, what?
1751.
What was the altitude beat up?
Get that. You want to give me the targeting for B12, please? I need to take.
Okay. B2, 109.
Plus 109er.
Okay. 04.
Plus equal 4.
Plus 3406.
406. I have 109.04. 3406.
Looks good.
Okay. How about my 976?
Okay, that's good. Go with the pad value. 55124.
Okay, verb 25. Enter plus 5512. Enter. Plus 15. Enter. 0. Enter.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Houston, how do you like the eggs alignment? Should we go ahead and update the state vector or stay with what we have?
Stand by. Okay, Ed, the eggs is go as is.
Okay, go as is. 411. 10,000. 7 plus 10,000.
Right. 410
plus 0.
Okay, we're waiting on a stage. Helium.
Jerry Houston, you are safe for T2.
Roger.
Okay, safe for T2.
Tape recorder off, ICS-3TT.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. That was really great work you did on that abort problem.
Yeah, those guys did a lot of scratching around there, Ed.
Yes, sir. We sure appreciate that.
You better really save the mission.
Go ahead.
Now that you're sitting still there, we'd like to try to get the steerable gone. Pitch plus 124, yaw minus 42, and stay in slew.
Okay, Beto, you've got it. That picked up the signal strength a little bit.
Entire Houston, say again.
You have the steerable, Beto. I'm locked up in flu.
Okay, Entire, that looks good.
This is Apollo Control. With some of the numbers associated with the landing, ignition time for power descent initiation was 108:42:29 ground elapsed time. Actual touchdown was at 108:55:14. A total time in power descent of 12 minutes 46 seconds. At the present time, the command service module Kitty Hawk is on air-to-ground 2, which will be recorded in the newsroom and transcribed. However, the air-to-ground 1 for lunar module Antares on the lunar surface is prime and will be carried live as the conversations continue. We have loss of signal with the command module in 16 minutes. We're up live with Shepard and Mitchell in Antares at the Framara landing site.
Houston, my values were 047 and 053. 047 plus 37774 053 plus 00541.
Lee, we copied in. Antares, Houston.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, because of your attitude sitting there, Al, the first star there, Arcturus, is going to come up in D-10-2 rather than D-10-3, so...
Okay, very good. Okay, Houston, you have the 93.
Go ahead, Antares.
Do you have our now 93s?
Roger, now we got them.
Okay, Houston, we're going to have to crank up the rendezvous radar and get it down out of the way. It apparently drifted up during the descent.
Roger, Antares.
This is Apollo Control. 109 hours, 24 minutes, round elapsed time. We have had loss of signal with the command module Kitty Hawk as it passed behind the moon on the toward the end of the 14th lunar revolution. We're still up live for any further conversation between Shepard and Mitchell aboard Antares at the Framaro landing site. At the present time, they're busy with going through their lunar surface checklist. Doing some navigation alignments with the optical alignment telescope, which is roughly analogous to the sextant on the command module. Then at 110 hours, 20 minutes, they're scheduled to have a meal. Some 2 hours from now, roughly, they should begin preparations for the first extravehicular activity. To recapitulate again the landing phase, earlier in the revolution prior to the one in which the power descent and landing was made, some spurious numbers came up in the lunar module computer programs, which were indications of an abort signal. These were reckoned to be contamination in the abort switch itself.
Okay, we need to change the second in your second Technique 257. It's on page 1-5.
Okay.
Okay, it should be star rather than Gay-Crux. Should be star 56, which is Beta Centauri. And the new noun 88s are X minus 0.21408, Y minus 0.12572, Z minus 0.3, correction, minus 0.43401.
Okay, I copy the second star. Page 1-5 is Beta Centauri instead of Gay-Crux. It's number 56. And I presume it'll be in D-10-1. And vectors down 88 are minus 0.21408, minus 0.12572, and minus 0.43401.
Okay, that's correct, Ed.
This is Apollo Control to continue the recapitulation of the problem with the lunar module computer. The suspected cause was contamination in the abort switch. By tapping on the switch, the numbers would disappear both in the onboard display keyboard readouts and the telemetered numbers here on the ground.
Okay, Fred, oh, that was a real fine job. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Al.
Apollo Control again. To bypass this potential problem, which would cause an abort during the power descent, a computer routine was devised by the manufacturers, or the designers, I should say, of the Apollo guidance system, whereby the abort signal would be bypassed. This routine was entered into the disky after ignition for power descent, and apparently caused no problems with a fairly nominal descent profile and touchdown right on target. Power descent ignition again, 108.42.29. Touchdown at 108.55.14. For a total time in the power descent of 12 minutes 46 seconds. Continuing to monitor the air ground circuit with Antares on the lunar surface at 109 hours 30 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 109 hours, 35 minutes, ground elapsed time. We're estimating a change of shift briefing with the off-going flight director, Jerry Griffin, and hopefully spacecraft communicator Fred Hayes over in the small briefing room in the Apollo News Center, Houston, in about 15, 20 minutes. Still up, live for any conversations with Lunar Module Antares. This is Apollo Control at 109.36.
Antares, Houston.
Go ahead.
Okay, you can go on by those alarms, Al. I think they're due to hit and mark reject. Before you're doing the Verb 32 enter, that isn't necessary. You can just reload right over there.
Okay. We need to get rid of this mark, Fredo. We're going to reject it and start over.
Okay.
Okay, Houston, shall we torque those?
Stand by it. Okay, they look good in Terry's. You can talk them.
Al says you can't do any better.
You're right.
Okay, Houston, what would you like to do with those numbers?
Stand by. Antares, Houston, recommend accept.
Apollo Control Houston at 109 hours, 53 minutes, ground elapsed time. We've had a handover of flight control teams and mission control. Flight Director Pete Frank presently pulling his flight control team for a go-no-go for power down. We'll stand by and continue to monitor. We're at 109 hours, 54 minutes, ground elapsed time, and this is Apollo Control Houston.
Houston, Antares.
Antares, this is Houston. Go ahead.
Hello, Bruce. Al says that Beta Centauri, which you wanted for this second star, is in D-10-6. Do you want it in 1 or 6 now that you've changed it?
Scorpio, Houston, D-10-6, please.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, at 110 hours, 1 minute, ground elapsed time. The change of shift news conference is ready to begin in the large auditorium of Building 1, and at this time... we will take down the live air to ground and switch to the news conference. This is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control, Houston, at 110 hours, 51 minutes ground elapsed time. Since we took the line down, we've had considerable conversation with the crew aboard Antares, with Al Shepard and Ed Mitchell, and we will play that back for you now.
Houston, your desires on the down 89.
Stand by. And Terry, this is Houston. We recommend that you do not accept this down 89. The first set of marks was satisfactory. Over.
Okay. I'll send the star bulbs aligned a lot better today.
Oh, jolly good. Can you see at the center of the AOT in this case?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, no blind spot.
Beautiful.
Houston, Antares, we're standing by for a stay.
Antares, this is Houston. Stay, over. And Terry, this is Houston. Stay. Acknowledge. Over.
Okay, we're having a little chuckle about that transmission, but we acknowledge very happily.
And we will stay. Roger that.
Houston, would you like my updated 047-053 numbers?
That's affirmative.
Roger, 047 plus 377-73053 is plus 00610, and we're standing by for P-22 ICON.
Okay, I copy address 47, 37773, and 53 is 00610.
Good feedback. Houston,
Antares,
this is
Blue Air Data. Houston, roger that. This is Houston. It'll be a few minutes yet before we're ready to uplink the RLS and CSM state vectors to you. We'll let you know when we're ready to come up with it.
Okie doke. We're pressing on with our power down checklist.
And Terry, this is Houston. We're ready with the uplink. RLS and CSM state vectors. Are you still in pool and data?
That's affirmative.
Roger. And Terry, this is Houston. preliminary P-22 acquisition time is 110 plus 50 plus 00. We'll give you a more precise estimate as we approach it, over.
Roger, read back 110 plus 50 plus 00 is a preliminary.
Roger that. And Terry, this is Houston. The uplink's complete. Computer's yours.
Okay, thank you.
And Terry, this is Houston. We're standing by for your description of the lunar surface as viewed from the windows of the LEM. And we'd also be interested specifically in hearing whether you feel that the roll in the spacecraft is due primarily to terrain or whether you feel that there's some landing gear stroking also, over.
Okay, we'll be right with you on the description of the surface here momentarily. We're configuring one of the cameras at the moment. With respect to vehicle roll, it looks as though it's probably due mostly to the terrain. They're not really a good level spot to land on around here, unless we proceed quite a bit closer to Dublin. So we'll keep you, and we'll advise you further on that after we set the EVA.
Okay, very good. Sounds like you may have a nice level sight over near Dublin for the LSEP, though, doesn't it?
Oh, we'll find one. Okay, Houston, that Terry, are you ready for some orders on the surface?
That's affirmative, Ann Terry. Go ahead with your description.
Okay, as you may have heard, after P-64 had pitched over, a code crater and the landing site were immediately visible. The sun angle was good. We were able to recognize it perhaps even easier than we were on the LMA display at the Cape. The LPD inputs are only one left that we took over short of a triplet, and I thought at first I was going to land the south of the track, but it's rougher over there than the LNA shows, and so we came back on track and landed essentially on the track between Super and Dublin. And I estimate perhaps 100 meters short of our target. Okay, with respect to the general terrain, we are in a depression here. We are looking at course directly toward Dublin Crater, which appears to be above us in elevation by approximately 25 to 30 feet. The terrain slopes gradually upward in that direction. There are some undulations, but generally speaking, it slopes gradually upward into the area of Dublin. The z-axis of the spacecraft is about 1.5 degrees to the right of the landing plane, and of course that puts the shadow of the LEM off to the left because of the current sun location. Are you reading me all right?
That's affirmative, Antares. We're copying you for over.
Okay, well, Ed is completing the pictures out of his window. I'll continue to say that, generally speaking, as I sleep from one horizon to the other, we find the terrain is a little rougher than I expected, and we are in a depression here in the landing site with respect to the south and to the north. The
depression at the north appears to be fairly close to us, perhaps 50 or 60 meters away. To the south, the land gradually slopes up to a ridge which is perhaps half a mile away. The general area in the left-hand window of the left is relatively free of large boulders. I see less than 10 within my field of view that are over the size of perhaps 8 to 10 inches. And now, Ed's ready to take over. I'll proceed to photograph off the left window and turn over to him.
Roger, Ed. Go ahead.
Okay, Houston. I'm just trying to get oriented. I think I can see quite a few of the craters that are out my window are here on the map. There are several large enough to be seen on the map. And in addition, there are some reasonably large boulders. I will try to get us located first, and then I'll describe what I see.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be quite easy as I thought, Houston, to pick out these craters I see in front of me. And pinpoint them on the map until we get a little bit better purview from the outside. Let me just pick it up with a description. First of all, as Al pointed out, we're very close to the landing site that was proposed.
And there it is.
A bit more toward triplet than that. Go ahead.
All right, your updated C-22 acquisition time, 110 plus 51 plus 00, and that will coincide with the angle that you've got on board. You should expect to see the CSM about 30 seconds later, over.
All right, your 110-5150.
110-5100.
Okay, 00, thank you.
Roger, and continue.
Okay, Houston, as Al pointed out, the port Dublin is a rise, and this the ridge that we have talked about that is beyond Dublin is very pronounced. It forms our skyline, or my near horizon, and we seem to be sitting in a bowl. It slopes toward us from the west. It's rather choppy, I might admit, undulating. But the ridge beyond Dublin is the highest thing I can see in front of me. Looking around to the right, the skyline is quite undulating. There is a large old depression to our right, that is to the north of us, which forms another bowl very similar to the one that we are appear to be sitting in. And I can see several ridges and rolling hills of perhaps 35 to 40 feet in height. Obviously very, very old craters that are almost lost, that are almost in the sink now. Between myself and the skyline to the north, the horizon to the north. It just looks like a series of low hills from this vantage point.
Okay, the window photography is completed. Magazine Kilo Kilo, exposure 20.
Houston, roger out.
Okay, Houston, the undulations are far too complex for me to try to describe them right now without getting in a better vantage point so I can point them out on your map. I'm sure I can do that as soon as I can get a better handle on our location. Let me suffice it to say that I think there is more terrain, more relief here than we anticipated from looking at the map.
There's a hell of a lot of relief inside the cabin, I'll tell you that.
Okay, and there's a few boulders out my window. They're scattered around, fallen between here and Dublin. I see at about my 230 position, probably 50 yards out. A large boulder that's probably 3 feet across. There are, it's the largest one I have in my field of view, or at least in my near field of view. And there are two or three others, perhaps half that size, or appear to be half that size, in that same vicinity, just a little beyond, about 2:30 on the clock code, and perhaps 50 meters to the largest one, and then another 10 or 15 to the other boulders. They don't seem to form a pattern that I can see. The color that we're looking at is kind of a mouse brown or mouse gray. And obviously, it changes with the sun angle. The surface, well, there are numerous craters in my field of view, some old, very smooth, some overlapped by newer craters, some that seem to be relatively recent. Most of the surface, however, seems to be fine-grained. Incidentally, I do see some linear features on the surface, very small, fine linear features. I do not think that they are erosion pattern. They may be. However, I can see a suggestion of them quite a ways away from the limb, kind of running parallel to those that I can see, that we'll have to talk about later when we get out to
the
limb. I think we see lineations that are not... Go ahead.
Roger, could you give us a little more description on the near-field craters, that are the ones that are right in close to the limb?
Okay. We have a small pattern of craters at the 12 o'clock position, or maybe about 12:30. I have an old subdued crater with a pressure crater in the middle of it, and a two or three grouped around on the north edge of it. That crater is about 15 feet across. Immediately in front of us, maybe 15 feet, is about a 6 or 7 foot crater that's pocked with a few pressure craters on it. At the 1 o'clock position, I have an old crater, probably 12 foot in diameter, with a fairly small, relatively fresh crater on the south side of it that's maybe a foot in diameter. And as a matter of fact, the larger of those two I just described seem to form the south pair, the south of a very small triplet. As a matter of fact, the one I described, the first one I described, is in line with those three. As a matter of fact, they form a quadruplet, I guess. Now, those are the largest craters in my near field, and they are the quadruplet I spoke of. The first one I described is at about the 12:30 position and probably 50 feet out. And the fourth one, which is the most northeasterly, is at about the 2:30 position and probably 40 feet out. Any questions?
That sounds very good, Ed.
Okay, beyond those, at the 1 to 130 position, I see two craters that the surface is sloping up from me at that point. Two craters that are probably, the closest one is 25 feet across. It's about 60 to 80 feet from us, and that's at the 2:30 position. And about 25 feet beyond that one is a crater which is 15 to 20 feet across. These are both smooth rimmed craters. They are rimmed craters, but they've been beaten down and have smaller craters on the sides. And those two that I just described are south of the large block, rock block that I spoke of. They're south by about 30 to 40 feet. Let me describe two more craters, if you have it. I'm getting dry. Almost due north, which would be my 3 o'clock position, Let's say the 245 position, I don't want to be discriminating here, 245 position at about 85 to 100 feet, almost in line with the quadruplet, is another crater 25 to 30 feet across with a smaller one on its southwest rim. It's closer at the 3 o'clock position, just barely in my right-hand window field of view, is about 35 to 40 feet out. Now make it 40 feet out. Is a crater about 12 feet across, which seems relatively fresh. However, all of these craters have small, very small craters aligning them. Okay, I'll take over. Okay, Houston, referring to the surface map on the following coordinates. Charlie Meter and 64.9 is a crater, a fairly new crater, which I'm looking at almost directly a beam of the limb. So I would say that our landing point is just about on track, and we're perhaps 10 meters to 20 meters short of the landing site. The bright crater on the west wall of South Dublin is also very visible to us from this point as it is in the landing surface photograph.
And Darius Houston, we understand you have this Charlie Peter 64.9 crater at your 9 o'clock position, is that correct?
That's right.
Houston, we're going to have to get on with our P-22 here very quickly.
Roger, go ahead.
Yeah, you can call up at 9:30 position, Houston.
Roger, we got you. And Terry Houston, I have your consumables update when you're free.
Roger, number one.
Okay, single strength is building up. Let's say we're going for a lock-on.
Roger that.
And the no-track light is out. Okay, we're locked.
And Terry, this is Houston. I have the LEM Week update for your DAP load for you, and we do want to do an e-memory dump prior to the gravity measurement test.
Okay. Okay, I'm ready for the updated weight.
And Terry, this is Houston. LEM Week 10869er. Read back over.
Roger, 10869er.
Roger that. When you're ready to copy, Antares, I have your consumables update and also the updated liftoff times for Rev 16 through 19. Over.
Okay, Houston, I'm ready to copy liftoff time.
Roger, Ed. Updated liftoff times for Rev 16, 112 plus 52 plus 47. Rev 17, 114 plus 51 plus 07. Rev 18, 116 plus 49er plus 28. 118 plus 47 plus 48. Read back over.
Okay, Rev 16, 112 5247. Rev 17, 114 5107. Rev 18, 116 4928. 19, 118 4748.
And Terry Houston, read back correct. I have your consumables update when you're ready. Over.
Okay, ready to copy.
Lamb consumables update at a GET of 110 plus 30 RCS Alpha 80.0 Bravo 77.0. Descent oxygen 81.6. Ascent oxygen NA and 9 or 7. Descent water 75.1. Ascent water 98.4, 98.8. Ampere hours descent 119 or 9. Ascent 572. Over.
Give me the descent water again, please.
Descent water 75.1%. Over.
Okay. GET of 110.30. RCSA is 80.0. B 77.0. Descent O2 81.6. Ascent O2 NA of 97. Descent water is 75.1. Ascent water is 98.4, 98.8. Ampere hours 1199 and 572.
And Terry, this is Houston. Read back is correct, Ed.
Houston, do you have any questions about the surface comments that we've made so far?
Stand by, please. And Terry's out. This is Houston. The only additional questions that we have generated from your description is a request for details on the lineaments. Specifically, we're interested in knowing the direction that they trend, the abundance, and the size. Over.
Okay, stand by one.
Houston, I'll pick that up for a moment. I'm not going to describe the lineation theorem because the one theorem may very well be confused with a decent engine pattern. But I will say that further out to the north, I can see lineations that appear to run roughly east-west, but let's say a little bit north of west, south of east, along that line. And it's very fine grained, almost imperceptible. Except it does have a little bit of shadow effect, almost like sand duning, but not quite. And I can't really say much more about it until we get out and look at it. They may disappear when we get out there, but they're certainly visible from this viewpoint.
Roger, Ed, and we're standing by for your e-memory dump.
We're coming now.
And Terry, Houston.
Go ahead.
And Terry, this is Houston. Based on your description, we estimate your location to be Charlie Papa Decimal Niner and 65.3. I say again, Charlie Papa Decimal Niner, 65.
The crater at Charlie Romeo Point 2 at 64.5 is right out in front of me, about 150 feet. If that is so, and I believe it is, it places our position just a little bit north of where you said we were.
Okay, we copy. Understand you would call up the crater at your 12 o'clock position?
It's really about 12:30 and probably 130 to 150 feet out.
Roger that.
Maybe a bit more. Let's say over 150.
And Terry, this is Houston. We're standing by to commence the gravity measurement on your go.
Okay, Houston, the computer's yours.
Roger that.
Okay, Houston, crew status report. We've taken no medication. We're both excellent, Jay. PRD for the commander is 16049, for the LFP is 07047.
Roger, 16049er, 07047. And are you all getting something to eat up there now?
As soon as we stop asking questions, we'll start eating.
Okay, munch away.
Okay, we'll give you a little verbiage between bites here.
No talking with your mouth full.
Did you say talking or twerking?
And Terry, this is Houston, based on Ed's report on the crater Charlie Romeo 2 and 645. Our new estimate of your position is Charlie Quebec, decimal 5, 65, decimal 4, over.
Okay, CQ-5654.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control Houston at 111 hours, 21 minutes ground elapsed time. You heard that long exchange between capsule communicator Bruce McCandless here in Mission Control and the crew of Antares speaking from the Frau Morrow region. Al Shepard, Ed Mitchell. Earlier, Flight Dynamics had given a preliminary set of coordinates of 3.65 south, 17.46 west. In any case, quite close, and the computer on Antares is probably smarter than maps prepared here on Earth. From that description, Antares appears to be within several feet of the prescribed landing point. As we look over copies of the onboard grid maps of the area. Coordinate numbers, by the way, will be further refined with the rendezvous radar tracking. That's program, computer program 22 on board the LIM. You heard some description of that as Kitty Hawk passes overhead. Al Shepard, Ed Mitchell, obviously well-schooled in their procedures, starting first with a general description of geological features, then proceeding with increasing detail. We're at 111 hours, 23 minutes in ground elapsed time. And standing by, continuing to monitor, this is Apollo Control, Houston.
Houston Antares, just an interesting comment while I think about it with respect to zero phase. I was aware of it, but it really gave me no problem at all during the descent from Highgate on down. Of course, we are out of plane here as far as the sun direction is out of plane as far as we're concerned. But nonetheless, I did notice zero phase because I looked for it, but with respect to interfering with the landing, it was not a problem.
Roger, we copy that, and we got a question for you. How soon did you recognize triplet?
Almost as soon as I picked up cone, almost immediately.
Roger that.
I probably looked down right after Al did and saw the whole pattern. The whole pattern was immediately recognizable to me.
Roger that.
Carrying on with an earlier comment, at least as far as the left side is concerned, is that I'm surprised by the lack of large rocks in the area in front of us. There just don't appear to be more than half a dozen within the field of view. in this southwest quadrant. On the crater which I mentioned in our 930 position earlier, it has no name, but the one which we coordinated for you, there is a definite ray pattern visible coming from that crater, a ray pattern of smaller rocks with some that is perhaps 10 inches in size at the rim, varying on out to small hand-sized samples at the edges of rays. There appear to be rocks inside the rim of the crater, but they're all small rocks, 8 to 10 inches, and it's not what I would classify as being a blocky crater.
Roger, Al. Sounds like you should have no problem getting your football-sized rocks.
No, they're not as plentiful as we might expect, but we'll be able to get at least one on each EVA.
Roger.
hours, 28 minutes into the ground elapsed time for Apollo 14. That was Al Shepard and Bruce McCandless talking about one of the EVA tasks, that of acquiring football-sized rocks. We're at 111 hours, 29 minutes ground elapsed time, and continuing to monitor. This is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control, Houston, at ground elapsed time of 111 hours, 32 minutes into the flight of Apollo 14. Although most of our attention has been directed toward Antares, there is another flight control team in Mission Control, this headed by Flight Director Glenn Lunny, with Ron Evans serving as capsule communicator in contact with Stu Russo aboard Kitty Hawk. Presently, Kitty Hawk is passing behind the moon on the 15th revolution. We will reacquire the command module in some 34 minutes. We're at 111 hours, 33 minutes, ground elapsed time. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Hi, Antares, this is Houston. Could you give us some feel for your position relative to starting cabin prep for EVA 1 and the timeline, over?
Well, we're about 8 bites away.
Roger, much away.
We should end up with our lunch here and or whatever meal it is. In about 10 minutes, and be pressing on with the EVA 1 prep.
This is Houston, Roger out.
Apollo Control, Houston. That was Al Shepard advising Mission Control that he and Ed Mitchell, finishing their meal at this point, and we'll be picking up within perhaps 10 minutes their preparation for EVA 1. 111 hours, 35 minutes ground elapsed time. This is Apollo Control, Houston.
Antares, this is Houston. We finished the gravity measurement test. Your computer.
Roger
out. Antares, this is Houston. At your convenience, we'd like you to go into program 06, powering down, or putting the computer in standby, and the IMU operate circuit breaker to open. Over.
Okay, Bruce, we'll be doing that momentarily.
All right, you're no rush.